It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
It's a good life living for the Lord, and I trust that you've found that in your life today. And I trust that you have trusted Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. And today we want to continue our study in the book of Romans. And we're going to begin with Romans chapter 1 and verse 27. But let's go back just a moment and let's recap something that God wants us to know here. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is starting to get into the fact that man is lost, that man is without excuse, and that there's only one way of salvation. Now, he's a prosecutor here in laying out his case just as a prosecutor would. In verse 25, he talks about people who change the truth of God into a lie, and that they serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. Amen. You see that in verse 25. And then in verse 26, he says, because of all these things that man has turned against God, that they once had the truth and they turned against God, that they have the truth now in the creation and in the Word of God. He says that because they've had all of this and they have this now and they still do not believe God. He says, for this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And I remind you that a woman with a woman and a man with a man for sexual purposes is against the Word of God. It is not scriptural. It is not right. There is no way around that. If you disagree with that, take it up with God. Take it up with the Lord and His Word. It's not a political thing. It's a moral thing. It's morally wrong for a man to be with a man and a woman to be with a woman for sexual relations. Now in Romans chapter 1 and verse 27, it says this, and likewise also the men. Now, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, mentions the woman in verse 26, and now he doesn't leave the man out. He says, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Now I remind you to go back and read about Sodom and Gomorrah, how that this was an ungodly place. We understand that Sodom, even today, that the word sodomite is wrong. Men and men, that is, men with men, that is wrong. And God destroyed that area, Sodom and Gomorrah, because of the unnatural affections that women had with women and men had with men. The relationships that they had, sexual relations, God said, it's wrong, and I'm going to destroy it. Well, if something is not done in our country to put a stop to this, we're headed down that slope the same way that Sodom and Gomorrah went down. God destroyed that place, and God has no alternative but to pour out His wrath upon the people who go against His Word and against the moral responsibility that we have as a people that God placed on this earth to take care of this earth and to do the things according to what He said. Not according to what we want or what we say, but according to what He says is right, not according to what we feel is right. And we see that the wrath of God is coming against this country and any other country that turns their back on Jesus Christ, upon God. Well, notice the word men in this verse. The meaning, of course, the specific word meaning males. And notice the word natural. That which is natural, in other words, normal, proper, and right in God's sight. God is the one who sets the norms and the standards. Man is wrong if he tries to set the standards. Notice it says they burned. They were inflamed sexually, boiling with desire, not love, but lust. Men with men, homosexuality is wrong, unseemly, shameful, receiving, getting just what they deserve because of what they have done. And the verse talks about a recompense, a reward, in other words, a penalty. This word meet, M-E-E-T, in this verse means necessary. It's inevitable. Such sin cannot go unpunished. And notice verse 28, Romans chapter 1. It says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." And I've said this earlier in this study that God said, "Okay, you want to do it your way? Have it at it. Go at it and see what happens." And God has let this country and this world go to a certain point. He says, "Okay, you want it this way? You go right ahead, but there's judgment coming." And I submit to you today that the judgment of God, the hammer of God, is getting ready to fall upon the world. He says, because they did not like to retain him in their knowledge, and because of that, he gave them over to a reprobate mind, not able to make sound decisions, in other words. And then the result was to do those things which are not convenient. God gave them over. This verse says, or God gave them up, in other words. They reprobated the knowledge of God. So God gave them over to a reprobate mind. They abandoned the knowledge of God, and so God abandoned them. In Psalm chapter 81, verse 12, it says, "So I gave them up unto their own hearts' lust, and they walked in their own counsels." And in Romans chapter 1 and verse 29, it goes on to say, "Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers." Paul is not the prosecutor. He's not the prosecutor. He's telling it just the way it is. He's laying out the case. And in a sense, he is a prosecutor. He's letting people know that they're wrong. And notice he says, "filled with all unrighteousness." In a general word, going back to verse 18, which involves any kind of wrong thinking, speaking or acting or living. Well, notice he uses the term "filled with all fornication." We get the word pornography from this Greek word, and it is generally a word for any kind of illicit sex, anything contrary to what God established in Genesis chapter 2, man with a woman. And notice, "filled with all wickedness." This is wickedness, evil, those who delight in doing what is wrong. "Filled with all covetousness." And literally, it means the craving to have more and more and more. Man is never satisfied. And the opposite of covetousness is contentment and satisfaction. And thus, he refers to people who are not satisfied with what they have. They are greedy people. Paul goes on and says, "filled with all maliciousness." This is wickedness, depravity, badness in general, full of envy. This is jealousy over what someone else has, full of murder. Remember, Jesus said that we can also be guilty of mental murder, which involves hatred and anger. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 and 22, Jesus says this, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." Full of murder? This is the mind. The heart can murder. Full of debate? This is strife, arguments, fightings, a quarrelsome disposition. Full of deceit, a person who tricks and deceives. Full of malignity, Paul says, this is evil, an evil disposition, bad manner or character, someone who makes the worst out of the best. And finally in that verse, he says, whisperers, secretly whispering about others, slandering others, spreading gossip and rumors. Now we look at verse 30, backbiters. See? He doesn't stop in verse 29. He continues on. These people are backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. And notice the word backbiters. The Greek word literally means to speak against, to say mean or evil things about someone who is not there. And if you were there, you would never say it. This is open slander, false charges, false accusations. He says, haters of God. God haters, as evidenced even given by the way they use God's name. Despiteful, violent, one who brings harm or injury to someone. And we read about that in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. You can read that later. Well, he goes on to say, Paul does, he says, proud. This would be arrogant, literally to appear above others, showing oneself above others. Boasters, those who brag, inventors of evil things. They devise and contrive and plan what evil thing they can do next. Disobedient to parents. This may seem out of place in such a list, but yet it shows how serious a thing this is to God. Who among us can say that he has never been guilty of being disobedient to his parents? Well, Paul is laying out a case. He's leading up to something. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 31, and see, he's not finished yet, and he says, these people are without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Without understanding, this means devoid of understanding, stupid, because they're unwilling to listen to God, foolish, spiritually blind, covenant breakers, faithless, they don't keep their word, without natural affection, unloving, this is heartless, lacking that natural love which parents should have for children, brothers for sisters and so forth, implacable, unforgiving, impossible to pacify, unmerciful, showing no mercy, ruthless and cruel. Well, in verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now today, we're going to stop with that verse, and I ask you to think on these things that we've talked about today. I ask you to remember that Paul is laying out a case here that all men are guilty before God. Every one of us is guilty, and we need a Savior to make us righteous. We cannot be righteous on our own selves. We can be righteous through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust Him to lead you today. And I trust that you have been saved, that you know Jesus as your Savior. And I pray that you are serving Him today as a child of God. If you don't know Him, ask Him into your heart. And if you don't know Him, you simply need to say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I can't save myself. And Lord, I want to see you one day. I want to go to heaven. I want to please you right now by asking you to come into my heart. I believe you're God. I believe you died for me. You were buried and you rose from the dead that I could have eternal life. Please come into my heart and save me. If you'll pray a prayer something like that, believing it in your heart, then the Bible says that you will be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you as a saved person, are you serving Him today? Are you living for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? He died for you, He was buried, and He resurrected that you could have eternal life. And you need to remind yourself of that daily. And you need to be living for Him, walking in the Spirit, letting Him guide you and direct you, and doing things that are pleasing to Him, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Serve Him. Let Him guide you. Let Him direct your paths, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will be yours.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.